We're doing Sefer Masiyot, and we're about to learn a fascinating story. The story is not fit for children. And this story really, there's a minor reference to the story in a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara just refers to the person and his piety, but the Gemara doesn't elaborate. And there are minor allusions to the story in Halachot, but the full story isn't written anywhere, to the best of my knowledge, but here. Rashi quotes a minor version of the story, but nowhere near what we're about to learn tonight. And there are halachot which you will encounter in the Gemara and in the Rambam, which stem from this story. So let's begin the story. There was a wealthy man from the wealthy people of Israel, and his name was Natan de Tzutzita. Natan, who had sparks. And he, this Natan, fell in love with a married woman. Her name was Chana. And Chana's husband was impoverished. And Chana was very, very good looking. And Natan was dying for Chana. And he became ill, physically ill. And the doctors entered to Natan and they told him, "You will not be cured till you sleep with Chana." So Natan comes to the sages and says, "I'm dying." And the doctors say, "This is the only cure." So the sages tell him, "Drop dead. We're not letting you transgress." So the doctors tell Natan, "You know, maybe if you talk to her, if you have a conversation with her, that'll help you." And the rabbis say, "Forget it." So he's ill and he's staying in bed and he's ill. And Chana's husband had many debts till it reached a point that he was incarcerated. He was placed in jail. He didn't have what to pay back, all his debts. And his wife would spin threads by day and night, and with the little bit of money she'd get for spinning the threads, she'd buy bread, and she'd bring him some bread to the jail. And in those jails, in those times, if your relatives didn't bring you food, you died. They weren't feeding him. So he was a long time in jail, and he was exasperated. So he tells his wife one day, "You know, if you save someone from death, it's as though you've saved many people. And I, my life is worth death. That's it. My life is over. So have pity on me. Go to Natan and ask him that he'll lend you the money and you'll redeem my soul from death." So she tells him, "What, you don't know? You haven't heard that he's sick and he's on the verge of death because he wants me? And every day he sends messengers and they offer me money and I don't accept. And I say, I'll never see his face, never. And I'll go and beg him to borrow money. If you had any sense whatsoever, you'd never talk this way. Maybe because you've been incarcerated for so long, you've gone crazy." She got very upset at him and she went home. 3 days she didn't come back to him. On the fourth day, she had pity. And she came back. And she found him on the verge of death. And he turns to her and he says, "God should seek my anger from you. You will be caught for my sin. But I see that you would rather I die here in jail so you could go marry Natan and be his wife." And she says to him, "Divorce me. Divorce me. I'll leave you. I'll go to him." So he tells her, "I told you so. I told you. That's what you want. That's what you wanted all along. You wanted to go to Natan." And she started wailing. And she fell on her face and she said, "Whoever heard of such a thing? Whoever saw such a thing? The man tells me, go and have an illicit relationship. Go become defiled and get me out of jail." Her husband tells her, "Leave me. Leave me. Till Hashem has pity on me." She goes home and she thinks of her desperate situation and her husband's dire situation, and she has pity over her husband, and she spent time with herself. So she starts praying and she says, "Hashem, please save me. Save me, rescue me, so I won't err in sin. I won't stumble in sin." And she proceeds to the house of Natan. the messengers of Natan see her, and they rush to tell Natan that she's on the way. Hannah's standing at the gates, and his servants run in and they say, Hannah's here. He's lying in bed, deathly ill, and he says, if you guys are telling me the truth, I'm freeing all you servants. She comes into the courtyard, and his maid runs in and says, Hannah's standing in the courtyard. And he tells her, you too will be free if Hannah's really here. Hannah enters the house. He looks up and he sees Hannah. And he tells her, my master in female tense, what do you want? What do you seek? I'll give you whatever you want. What is it that you seek? I'll do whatever you want. She says, my request, what I ask, is that you lend my husband such and such a money. He's incarcerated, he's in jail. And if you lend him that money, it'll be a tzedakah for you before Hashem. So he orders the servants, take out that money, and he gives her everything she wanted. He says, look, I did what you want, and you know that I'm very sick, out of love for you. Now you do what I want, and give me life. So Hannah tells him, look, I'm here. I'm under your wings. I can't say anything. But I will tell you that now has come the hour that you can acquire the world to come. And be careful that you don't lose your good wages in the world to come for something so small. And don't make me forbidden upon my husband. And think, as if you've gotten what you wanted, but don't lose, because of me, a great amount of good. And don't force yourself to remain with something that is fleeting, something that is passing, and you will end your life with regret. And think of the afflictions that God could give upon a man, and don't do something that you will ultimately regret. Now is a fleeting moment, and for this fleeting moment, will you give up? Will you abstain from acquiring a long life and good wages in this world and the world to come, that a person cannot attain something like this with great toil, with great work, and you in this small hour can attain the will of your Creator if you listen to my advice and roar at the yetzer, the desire of your mind, things will be good for you. He heard what she says, and he yells at his yetzer hara, and he gets out of bed, and he falls on his face on the ground, and he starts davening, and he says, Ribbono Shel, let me conquer my yetzer. Let me break my desire. Guide me in the path that is right. Guide me in the path that is good. Forgive me for my sins, and let me do complete repentance. Let me do complete tshuva. And Hashem answered him and accepted his prayer. And Natan looks up to Hannah and he says, blessed are you to Hashem, blessed is your reasoning. You saved me today from coming in sin, from shedding blood, and now my hand has saved me. Go home in peace. And she goes home and she redeems her husband from jail. She takes him out of jail and she tells him everything that happens. And he says to her, liar. Natan and you did things that were improper, and you're hiding the truth. And day after day, he doesn't believe her. Now, some time has passed, and Rabbi Akiva looks out the window, and he sees a man riding on a horse, and on his head, he sees a great light. He sees that his head is shining like the sun. So he calls one of the students and he says, who's that man riding on a horse? So he tells him, that's Natan, who frequents in the hostel. So he tells his students, you see anything on his head? They say, no. So he says, quick, bring him to me. So they bring Natan before him. And Rabbi Akiva says to him, my son, there's a great light on your head when you walk forward. And I know that you will inherit the world to come. Tell me, what'd you do to merit such great things? And Natan told him the whole story of Hannah. So Rabbi Akiva wondered, wow, you're able to contain yourself after so much time that you kept thinking and wanting and you had such desire and you conquered your Yetzer and you did complete tshuva for all the past that you did improper things. Rabbi Akiva tells him, I want you to know, you did something amazing. And that's why Hashem makes that there's this great light shining from your head. And that's when you're still in this world, look at how you are. Certainly in the world to come, you have a great place. Now listen to me, my son. Sit here, and I'll teach you Torah. Natan sits before Rabbi Akiva, and so to speak, God opened the gates to his heart, and no one could close them. And after a short while, he became a great rabbi. And he sat before next to Rabbi Akiva, one step down, one step right near Rabbi Akiva. He was right there up there with Rabbi Akiva. And one day, Hannah's husband is walking by the base medrash of Rabbi Akiva. And he sees Natan sitting next to Rabbi Akiva. So he asks one of the students, him? How'd he get there? How'd Natan get to sit next to Rabbi Akiva? So he told him the whole story. He told him, Rabbi Akiva saw him riding. Rabbi Akiva saw great light from him. Rabbi Akiva interviewed him. Rabbi Akiva said, this man merits the world to come. It's a true story what Natan is saying. So then, when Hannah's husband heard all this, then he believed his wife. And he calmed down, his jealousy calmed down. And he came home and kissed his wife's head and he said, forgive me that I suspected you with all that happened with Natan. Today I saw him sitting next to Rabbi Akiva and I asked and they told me the whole story. Hashem should give you great wages, double and double, for I was worried about my life. I was scared I'd die in jail. And Hashem saved me with his mercy with this that you really did. You told me the truth that became known to me today. Therefore, says Rav Nissim Gaon, a person has to think about ultimately what's going to happen. And a person shouldn't allow his desires to overwhelm him and not listen to his desires. A person should try to acquire things that are permanent, things that won't be annulled, and that is the world to come. And he should mock the things that will give him Gehenim for generations and generations, and he should think that the desire for everything is like someone that's eating honey, and in the honey is mixed in a poison. So you say it's sweet, but ultimately it kills a person. So that's why our sages taught us, Ezu Gibo, who's a brave person, a Koveshet Yitzro, one who conquers his desire. And that's why the Yetzer is so powerful. That's why he has six names. He's called Orel, the foreskin, so to speak, the foreskin of our hearts. David called him the defiled one. That's why he asked God, create for me a pure heart. He said a pure heart, so we understand that the Yetzirah is the Tameh. Shlomo called him our enemy. Shlomo said, if your enemy is hungry, feed him bread. Meaning if your desire wants you to do a sin, go and eat bread. Meaning go and deal with Torah and Hashem will remove it from you. Isaiah, the prophet, Yeshaya called him Michshol, a stumbling block. Black Yecheskel, Ezekiel called him a stone, Evan, I'll remove the heart of stone from you. Yoel called him the Tzifoni. Tzifoni can be a type of snake. Tzifoni could be the Yetzer Hara, which is Tzafun, hidden in a person's heart. You see how many names it has? You see how hard it is, the damage that it does to people? God should help that all that seek to be saved from him will be saved. He is stronger on the wise man, on the Talmid Chacham. Abaye said, the Yetzer Hara takes on the Talmidei Chachamim more than anyone else. Why is already our own interpretation? And this is what our sages taught us, that Kol HaGadol Mechavero, whoever is greater, Yitzro Gadol Mimenu, his Yetzer is greater. The greater you are, the greater Yetzer you have. And I think the way to understand it, the way my father explained it to me once, was with a funny line. When I was a kid, so my father told me this, and then my father said a line which sounds funny, but if you think about it, that line really explains the concept. My father said to me, but just because you have a big Yetzer Hara doesn't mean you're a big person. So if you think about it, that's really the true explanation. Why is the Yetzer Hara bigger the bigger you are? Because he always has to counteract who you are. So he's going to remain that same small one that he was when you were small. He'll be nothing. So he has to work much harder, so he's much bigger. So at every stage of a person's life, he's going to look at the Yetzirah and say, boy, that's a formidable opponent. So if he's really big, so the Yetzirah has to be really big in order to be a formidable opponent. That's what I understand. That's what my father, I think that's what my father meant. Our sages said, my son, if the sinners seduce you, don't listen to them. If you meet up with this derelict, pull him into Beis Medrash. People say, how could I contend with him? I'm walking down the street and I see all these things. Well, maybe you shouldn't be walking down that street. If you'd be in Beis Medrash, it wouldn't bother you. Sometimes you have to walk down the street. We go down the street. But if a person feels like in certain areas, in certain places, he has the Yetzer Hara, so pull him into the Beis Medrash. In the Beis Medrash, even if he's stone, he'll melt. And if he's metal, he'll burst. This is all proven from the verses. God says, I created the Yetzer Hara, and I created the Torah. If you deal in Torah, he doesn't control you. And when the Jews deal in Torah and Gemilus Chesed, doing acts of kindness, they control the Yetzer. Reish Lakish said, a person's Yetzer is seeking to kill him every day. Every morning we wake up, he's standing there at our bedside ready to kill us. That's what the verse says. He's the Rasha, and we said that's an allusion to the Yetzer Hara, is ambushing for the Tzaddik waiting to kill him. And when a person deals in Torah, so then the Yetzer Hara runs away. Hashem saves us from his hands when we deal in Torah. If a person feels like his Yetzer is overcoming him for an Avera, so then Hashem helps him overcome him, because we have a rule. If we strive for purity, then Hashem helps us. If we strive for impurity, then they'll open the door for us. Meaning a person shouldn't think, well, if God doesn't want me to do this, it won't happen. Eventually, you'll get there. If a person keeps thinking, well, how can I get away with this and that? Oh, find a way. If the direction a person's mind is thinking is for acts of impurity, then that's where he will end up. And if a person is striving for purity, then in heaven they helped him. Hashem says, you open for me the eye of a needle, smallest opening, crack in your heart that you want good, and I'll open it wide like the entrance to the ulam. So we have to think about where we're holding. And this story I find to be a very, very powerful story. We read it and it seems like an impressive story. It's a nice story. It's not the type of story you'll tell your children as a bedtime story. But nonetheless, it is an impressive story. But this story, if we think about it, we could learn from Nathan. We could learn from a person who frequented the hostels, who decided one day, that's it, I am making a change in my life, I will be a good person, and he sat down and overcame his Yetzer. It wasn't easy. He had spent months, if not years, dreaming about this moment. And now we have the moment. And nonetheless, he was able to overcome his Yetzer. Certainly each one of us can.